I'd like to share scripture with you this afternoon from Proverbs 23. And let's turn to verse 17. I have an admonition that's not only here, but there's also in 24 and 1 and Psalms 37 and 1. Let's read these repeated admonitions. 23 and 17 of Proverbs. I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Angela Gellenbeck. We live in minister in Junction City, Kentucky. Come see us. Let not thine heart envy sinners. Let's say that a little differently. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. I'd like to speak to the four different parts of this admonition this afternoon. I'd like to read the other scriptures, 24 and 1. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Psalms 37 and 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. What do you think that's talking about? That's talking about a feeling that a person develops and lives with inside themselves. As they go through life, it starts small. It starts with just looking longer at wickedness and evil than you should, paying more regard to it than what is rightful and just. It'll get you into trouble, and this is one of the troubles, that you start developing a feeling of wanting, coveting, thinking about, responding to, a quickening in your heart when you see it, just a desire for it. Let not thine heart envy sinners. Because you begin to see and compare. Now, what is there to compare with living for the Lord in a life of sin? It's more of a contrast than a comparison. But the Lord is my shepherd. My boast is in the Lord. I have everything to boast of and nothing to be ashamed of. Isn't that right? Amen. We live for the Lord. We're taken care of. You can't get a better shepherd than my Lord Jesus. He's taking care of me. He feeds me. He leads me. He guides me. He protects me. He comforts me. He reassures me. He's with me always. He will not leave me. That's my shepherd. That's my Lord. That's Jehovah that takes care of me. So to look out at a life of sin, well, we know that in Psalm 73, we can read how the psalmist got into his troubles. He said, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. Have you ever been in a situation where you looked at yourself and you thought, I'm almost gone? I remember coming to the Lord one time and saying, Lord, I'm falling. I'm slipping. He said, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Just right on the precipice, just right on the verge. And he explains how he got to that place. That's not a real healthy spiritual state. That's not the normal spiritual state. But that's a state where there's been some thinking going on. And he said, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There was a man named William Stevens who did the same thing. His dad had been unjustly prosecuted and killed by the military, by the government, because they accused him of mutiny in the, well, it was 1862, so it may have been the Civil War. But W.B. Stevens' father was killed. I think there were 80 soldiers that were unjustly killed with this accusation in the military. But this Mr. Stevens, he wrote the words to a song that we know and appreciate today, an old song. He says, I'm gonna blank, sorry. Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. And he wrote that, and there are words to it. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. I believe that's a classic, isn't it? It holds true because it's we can sing it today and it still is true. He said here, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I believe the whole camp of Israel got into this condition, and Prophet Malachi wrote about it. And he said, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. You've said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we've walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up, and they that tempt God are even delivered. That's what the psalmist said. He said, I got to where I was envious at the foolish. And he said, I thought that even in death, there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. He thought they just don't even suffer and die like the saints of God who suffer and die. These thoughts begin to overwhelm him. They're not in trouble like other men. Violence covereth them, therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. And yet my family, Lord, is suffering. Why are they so happy and so set up and so prosperous? You know, these kind of thoughts are poison to the mind. They'll hurt you. Run from them like you would a snake. They'll destroy you. Envy at the wicked, envy of sinners, it'll hurt you. They're corrupt. They speak wickedly. They speak loftily. I believe there, you can see that in Psalms 36 and also Psalms 10. I'm going to read Psalms 36 later, but in Psalms 10, in verse 4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall never be moved, or I shall never be in adversity. And yet the saint of God can look at somebody like that and say, why are we so oppressed? Why are they doing so well? And they don't even regard God, that he's not in their thoughts, and they're not troubled. and I'm troubled. I have a fight on my hands all the time. Have you ever thought about that? There are people who resent that we have a fight against the enemy. They don't fight. They're on the enemy's side. They don't have a fight anymore. There are people who resent that. Why do I have to fight the devil? Why do I have to be careful? Why, when I go shopping, must I very carefully choose the things that I wear? And why do I have this? I'm oppressed. That's that envy of the wicked when we get into that kind of thinking. The Word of God says, don't think like that. Yes. Don't live like that. Yes. You can't live like that very long, I know this. You'll make some really bad decisions if you have that in your heart, envy at the wicked. I think we read, don't desire to be with them. Don't go that way. Don't associate with that. Because, he says, well, we'll read that. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He's whom I'm following. Lord, I think we have a song that says something about following the Lord. He said, it says, I've got another blank. I'm sorry. I only follow Him. He said it would be this way. He said people would hate you. They'll cast out your name. You won't prosper in this world. You're going to bear a cross. You're just following me. So we want to instead, what did he say? Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Let's consider that for just a minute. I think it's very worthwhile to consider what he's talking about when he's saying the fear of the Lord. You live in terror of God? I want to give you an example. The scripture says that God is a consuming fire. Well, in the book of Lamentations, it says, because of his mercy, we are not consumed. We don't have to live in terror of God. If you get too close to him, he won't zap you and destroy you. When you consider fire, fire is a very useful thing. In the winter, we're very thankful for the way that we can light a fire and have heat in our homes. Even the light bulbs is a very small, controlled, covered environment of fire. Electric, burning. Our cars, you drive down the road and you're driving something that's burning. We don't have to be afraid of God. God is very comforting to us, comfortable, helpful to us. He's a consuming fire, but he's also a fire that warms us and lights us and strengthens us and motivates us. That's an illustration of fear. I have a healthy regard for fire. I don't go and jump in it. I don't build a fire in the fire pit and then just go lean over it. And yet I've fried fish over it and roasted meat over it, enjoyed it, but I have a regard for it. And that's what I'm speaking about here in the scripture. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. It's not like we frighten at the presence or the voice of the Lord, but we live in an awareness of his presence and how awesome and mighty that it is. And as we said a while ago, joy. We have a joy of that from that presence. It warms us. It helps us. It strengthens us. It comforts us. It's fire, but it's very good for us. That's I believe, a balance in our lives that we can develop to live in an awareness and a comprehension of that presence in our lives every day. To live in an awareness of His love, constantly aware of His love, one songwriter said. I'm constantly aware. You know, when you live in a constant awareness of God's love and care, you're not going to be envious at the wicked. You're going to be so grateful. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of me. So the fear of the Lord is not only fear and reverence, but it's thankfulness and praise. It's a healthy way to live, isn't it? To be constantly aware of the good things that God does for you, of the blessings, of the mercies, of the guidance that He has in your life. Thank you, Lord. You know, I've found that just to live constantly calling upon Him for His help, and then when He helps you, praising Him for that help. You're in prayer and praise all day long because we need His help all day long, and we thank Him for His help all day long. And it's not like, I got to remember to pray. It's just life. It's just He's there. He's constantly there. You're constantly aware of it. And you're constantly aware of how wonderful and awesome that it is. Lord, You just delivered me from something horrible. Lord, You just led me miraculously through that. I believe Brother Marty was telling about the Lord leading their van one time through like a maze on the interstate. It was dangerous vehicles that had piled up and crashed, and the Lord just guided him right through it, around it, through it. Praise God. Yes. We have those kinds of experiences all the time in life. Lord, what did You just do for me? Praise God. One time we needed gas, and turned on my bank card, and it wouldn't work. And I realized that we just couldn't get gas. And I began to call on the Lord, Lord, we need some help. We need a miracle. You ever ask the Lord for a miracle?
Yes, amen.
That's exciting. I need a miracle, Lord. I went digging in my purse. I pretty much thought I was gonna come up empty. But you know what? I found in a little pocket in my wallet, I found $100 bill. I had put it in there. My husband had told me to just keep it in there in case you need it, a long time before, and I had forgotten about it. But the Lord helped me find it. I think that was a miracle. I said, Lord, You just gave me $100. This is like Brother Darius Gibson stories. This is like my dad used to tell about. Lord, You just gave me $100. And we went and we got the gas. This is like Sister Charlotte's stories. I wasn't envious at any wicked person right then. I was ready to say, you know who's on my side? You know who takes care of me? He's awesome. He's great. He's unlimited. He's so mighty, and He loves me so much, and He cares for me so tenderly. Oh, I love to sing that song, don't you? My Heavenly Father is caring for me. My bark He is guiding o'er life's raging sea. Oh, I am His child. He cares for me so tenderly, for I am His child. That's who we serve today. Well, back to Psalm 73. The man who said, I had just well nigh slipped. I was almost gone because I was envious at the wicked. But what did he say? He was fixing to say some really rash things, and then he said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, verse 16, until I went into the sanctuary of God. You know, we have that privilege, no matter where we are, to go into the presence of the Lord and dwell in the secret place and abide under His shadow. And it's there that things are illumined in our minds, and we understand some very important things that are life-changing and transforming to our lives. He said, whenever I went into the sanctuary of the Lord, then understood I therein. I want to go back to Proverbs 21 because we have the next verse after 23:18. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long, for surely there is an end. And this Psalm 73, when I went into the sanctuary of the Lord, then I understood their end. And there's an end also that we can understand for us. Jesus said, the things concerning me have an end. We can say that too. And there's several verses I want to catch right here before we leave this thought. This word, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. The word, an end, it means there is an afterward. Surely there is an afterward. This present trial, Hebrews 12, it may be grievous. It's not fun. What we're going through, it seems harsh. It seems ridiculous to say there's joy in the Lord sometimes. This is what our flesh tells us. That's ridiculous. But it's not. But it says in verse 11 of Hebrews 12, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. I remember a sister told me after losing her husband, she said she thought, nobody ought to, this is cruel. Nobody ought to be treated this cruelly. These are the thoughts that came to her mind. The Lord helped her to rid herself of them. But it says, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Then it says, nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. The word afterward in the Bible is a blessed word. It says, surely there is an afterward. There's an afterward to every trial. There is an afterward to every prolonged situation. You may think this is going to endure and last forever, and I'm not. But the trial is. I don't have it in me to endure this trial. But surely there is an afterward. Amen. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. There's also this word in afterward, back in Psalm 73 again. This is a real blessing here. He said, then I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou casted them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Now listen to this. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holded me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Oh, when you begin to think about that, when you begin to think about the afterward to our trials, the afterward to Israel's trials, their trials were like chariots that just carried them forward on their way. And they'll carry us to heaven. Nevertheless, afterward, receive me to glory. I think that's the most wonderful verse to think about our lives. Thou wilt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. How blessed. What a wonderful life and death can you think of when you consider this. When you contrast it with the end of the wicked, I would rather have the death of the righteous. What is it that, I believe it was Balaam said, let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his. My dad loved that. He said that often, I remember. Let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his. Again, that's Psalms 37. It says, verse 37, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Also the book of James in the New Testament. Let's just read a little verse from James chapter 3. Was talking about Job. Yes, thank you. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Well, Malachi it said that they counted them happy, the proud happy. But we have this right now. We've got this right. We count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job, and you've seen the end of the Lord. You've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. How many times have we reminded ourselves the Lord will not let you go through anything that's too much? I believe that. I believe it. I'll stake my life on it. I know it's true. He will not allow you to suffer above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That is God's word. You can stand on that. It will not fail. You can trust him. Thank God. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. It also says there in Malachi that the Lord, they that feared the Lord, spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written up before them, for them that feared the Lord and them that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. You know what the word spare means? It means commiserate. It means to suffer alongside and to experience what you experience. And feel what you feel and understand what you're going through. That's what the Lord said. This word of God says, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son. The Lord is my shepherd. We don't have to be envious at the wicked. We don't have to want to be with them or to have what they have. We have the Lord. Somebody said, when God is all you have, God is all you need. And God brings us often into a place where God is all we have. He delights to do that because it's good for us. It's good for us to trust alone in Christ, to lean on Him. It is the best life.
Yes, it is. Amen.
I will spare them. I will commiserate with them. I'll cry with them. I'll hurt with them. As a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Oh, the promise to the saints. What a wonderful thing. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. Surely there is an end. Surely there is an afterward. To saints of God, there is an afterward to the sinners also. Ecclesiastes, I believe, has that. He said, it will be well with him that serveth the Lord. Yes. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked. Neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. To those who don't live in an awareness of God's awesome power and love and care, there's an end to them too. That's what the psalmist understood when he went into the sanctuary of the Lord. I understood their end, and I understood the end of the saints. We compare the two of them, and there's just no desiring the wicked and his plight and his lot at the end of his days, how he'll stand in the matter. I'd rather have the righteous. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. I want to think just a little bit more about living in the fear of God. There are special times that come that we need to be in the fear of God. Moses had some of those times. Moses was leading over 1 million people from Egypt into the Canaan land. And he got to a spot after the Lord had sent the 10 plagues and delivered them from the bondage of Egypt, after they had crossed the Red Sea on dry ground, they came to a place where they were thirsty and there was no water. And the Lord spoke to Moses and told him to strike the rock with his rod. And he did so, and there came out of the rock water. And it was enough water for all of these people and their flocks. It wasn't a trickle. What God gave was a mighty stream. The New Testament says that was Christ. That rock was Christ. Out of him came rivers. Well, and Jesus said that about himself. He came to give the living water. Jesus is that living water. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the source. He is the source of that water that fed them and satisfied their thirst. Another time they came to a place, and this one was called the place of striving. The people were angry, and they were mutinous, and they were striving against Moses. And it made Moses angry, and Moses forgot something really important. He forgot to set God apart in his own heart as the mighty, awesome deliverer, the one who gave me water from the rock, and the one who's leading us, the one whose pillar of fire we see at night, the one whose pillar of fire stood between us and the Egyptians and consternated that host, and they couldn't even see to go. Their wheels were like blocks trying to turn in the sand. And he was leading us and caring for us. Moses forgot to set that God apart as awesome and mighty and great in his heart. And he instead looked at the and with fear at the people who were wanting to destroy him and who were mutinous against him. And he got afraid of them, and he forgot to have a fear and a wholesome regard of God Almighty. And he spoke out and lashed out at them with anger. "Must I fetch water out of the rock with you, you rebels?" He said. He was so angry with them and put out with them. And God was grieved at his words, because they were faithless words. They were fearful words. And Moses struck at the rock when God, this time God said, "Just speak to it." And in his anger, he lashed out at the people and he struck the rock. We are told in 1 Peter, I believe it is, chapter 3, verse 15. We're speaking here about living in the fear of the Lord all the day long. This says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, with respect and with reverence." He said, don't lash out at people with anger and fear, but sanctify the Lord. Set him apart. That's what this word sanctify means. It means to set him apart as something totally out of the ordinary and something great, someone great and mighty and awesome that should be worshipped and feared and honored and revered. Not someone that you're scared of, but someone that you cling to as someone that you need. Live that way. Live with an awesomeness in your heart toward God. I need God. He's my source. He's how I live. I live by every word that comes out of his mouth. There is no joy that I desire apart from him. I believe the song, number 248, it says, something about that. Maybe if somebody finds it's in the end of the third verse, I think. Possibly right before that. No, it's something about joy. And there's nothing in grief that can harm me while you have left your love to me. And there's nothing in joy that can charm me were that joy unmixed with thee. That's what we need to keep in our hearts. I don't want a joy apart from my Lord. There's nothing about grief or pain that can injure me if I have the presence of the Lord. That's what it means to live in the fear of the Lord all the day long. We can do that. We can have that in our hearts from day to day. It will keep you from envying sinners and desiring to be with them. Oh, thank God. I want to read something from Hebrews 13. Let your conversation be without covetousness, verse 5. And be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Oh, living in the fear of God will preserve us from craven fear of man and from discontent and envy of sinners. It will keep us thankfulness and reverence toward God and thankfulness for His blessings and speaking of Him to others in that way, boasting of His goodness and His compassion toward us. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Oh, thank the Lord. I hope these few thoughts have been a blessing to you this afternoon. I want to admonish you and encourage you to draw close to the Lord and sanctify Him in your hearts. Let Him be your dread and let Him be your fear. I remember thirty years ago, at this meeting, I was fearful because I had been told, if you do not have an operation, you will die. I came back to the meeting and I said, I want the saints. I want to be with the saints. I want to have them pray for me. The nurse had told me, you can at least lay down and quit doing anything. Maybe it will help you not to die. So I came back and I went to my trailer and laid down. I was afraid of disobeying the nurse. I felt like the Lord was going to take care of me, but it was still risky and it was still fearful to me. I was a young mom and I wanted to live to take care of my two children. And this, I was being told, you will experience excruciating pain and hemorrhage to death if you do not have this surgery. I told her, I don't want to make you mad, but I really believe God is going to take care of me. I came back here. I went to bed. I was prayed for by the saints, went to bed. The next day, two sisters, one sister from Honduras, Sister Saunders, came to my travel trailer and said, Sister Angela, get up and come down to the service. And I said, but Sister Saunders, you know what they told me? I will die. And she said, here you've been preaching and you've been singing and the devil knock you flat with fear. She told me. So I prayed and I said, Lord, give me a fear to disobey your servant that's greater than the fear to disobey the nurse. That was 30 years ago. I'm still alive. The Lord healed me. The Lord, and the nurse said, at any rate, you are severely infected. You will never be able to have a child again. I have a 23-year-old. God healed my body. He saved my life. I did not need to fear. If I did fear, shame on me, because, well, I did. I did fear, but then the Lord changed my fear, gave me a fear to disobey Sister Saunders and Sister Belinda. They both came and prayed for me, and the Lord saved my life. Yes, thank you, Lord. I'm so thankful that the Lord did that. He's spared our lives many times since then, and He's taught us you don't have to fear. When you hear those words, you will die. A few years ago, my husband developed some pneumonia after aspirating some of his food. And he was doing some work with a man in town that's a dentist. And this dentist told him, man, you're going to die. If you don't have this treatment, you're going to die. And my husband just looked at him and he looked at me and said, we're going the way of the Lord. We went home and he didn't die. He's still alive. Thank God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything, any care, any sustenance. I need a $100 bill. The Lord's got one for me somewhere. I found these things by experience. The Lord is true. He will not fail you. He will not leave you or forsake you. He will not give you anything too much. God is good. He's a consuming fire, but he's comfortable for me. I can hide in him. Thank God. So we want to let him be our dread and let him be our fear. And not fear man. Thank the Lord.